Thank you very much. Where's the place you can see? Is that the right place? This is the right place. Is that okay? This is okay? All right. So I was walking at church, and some people said, "What happened to the other guy?" I wish I have a story like this, but I did not. And so I just fell on my scooter, broke my wrist, and this is my second cast so that I can swim, and it soon will be healed, I hope, and I pray. And so we're going to cover a topic that's a very important topic, actually, in my mind. It's the greatest commandment in the Bible: love the Lord your God. And so maybe before we dive in, we can just pray once again. Lord, we want to thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to establish a love relationship with us. You want to dwell among men, and that's the whole plan of salvation from the beginning and all the way until the end, like what Noah was sharing last time. You're coming back to claim your people. Lord, we thank you that we are yours. Everyone sitting here belong to you. And Lord, we know that it's because you have love that we are invited into your presence. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you have watched the movie Rocky? Rocky? Like the first movie? Those are for really old people. And you probably have watched the recent one. We watched the first Rocky movie. I was in high school and it was played. And I didn't watch it until I was much later. I think I came into watching Rocky as in Rocky 3. I think it's 3 that he's fighting the Russian, you know, boxer. It was a great movie. And so anyway, so when Rocky was fighting, so he kind of like, and you got all beat up. And then he never died. And then he kind of revived again, and he punched out his opponent. And then he won. You know, his eyes is fallen, you know, his lip kind of like this. And there's a one last thing he said. He hold the trophy. He said, "Andrea!" Do you know who Andrea is? That's his wife. He said, "I love you! Andrea, I love you!" So I hope at the end, when we finish talking, you can say, "God, I love you." That's my desire. That's my prayer. And so let's dive in a little bit. This is the greatest commandment. It's recorded in 3 Gospels. And this is what it says. "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment, and a second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those 2 commandments depends all the law and the prophets.'" And so this is a really kind of strange occasion, because it wasn't like Jesus is trying to give a sermon to say that, you know, "I'm going to give you the greatest commandment." This is under a test. And so his enemy is coming to him and trying to test him, trying to trick him. He said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And I don't understand, because if you read the Old Testament, I don't know whether you pull those 2 together, because they're from a different place. And so it's being pulled together, and that is the great commandment. So now we all know that it's the greatest commandment for us. And we need to love God with all our heart and our soul. And then we're going to love one another, love each other, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, how do we do this? Here? Yep. So 2 questions come to mind. First question is, what is loving God? And we won't cover this. And hopefully in the later time, we'll go into it. So actually, to look at this concept, it takes a few time to look at it. And the second question, I think, is probably, to me, is more personal, more pressing, is why does one need to love God? So I think that would be a question we all ask. Like, so this is a commandment. God commanded us to love God with all your heart and soul and mind. And then the question is, why do I need to love God? It's kind of obvious,
But on the other hand, we all ask the question, why? So we're going to address the second question. Why does one love God? So the answer is actually very simple. It's from 1 John 4:19. It says, we love because God first loved us. We love God because God loved us first. So that's the answer. So we want to look at now, how do we describe God's love? So to describe God's love, there's many ways to describe it. We just sing a whole bunch of songs. Your love is like a hurricane. And God, how we love you, or how he loves us. And so there's many ways to describe God's love. It's like an ocean. We're sinking, right? His grace, we're sinking in his ocean. We just sing that. And so I'm going to share in 5 ways. I feel like that is the way that I see it. You might see it in a different way. And 5 ways to love God, and then 1 practical. That's what we're going to do. So first, and how do we describe his love? And he died for us. He died. But God showed his love for us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So this is in the context of in Romans. And it talked about, you know, if you're a righteous person, no one would die for you. Hardly anyone would die for you. And if you're a good man, maybe someone would dare to die for you. I think that's in the context of what Romans says. So I remember when I was in Hong Kong, it was a long time ago, I was walking across the road, the street. And so there's traffic light. And so there was a rainy day, so I just walked across the road, and nobody was walking. But the traffic light was red. So normally, there's no cars around, so we just walk through it. So I kind of thought, this is very strange. Nobody's walking through the red light. I'm going to do it just like normal. So I did. I went. And then there was a policeman there. He said, hey, hold a minute. You know, I'm going to jot your name, and I pay $150. And I cannot believe it. And it seemed like everyone knows except me. And I kind of thought, he is a righteous man, isn't it? Because no one is supposed to walk through a red light. And I did. I violated the rule. I walked through the red light, and the policeman caught me, got my name, got my money. Would I die for him? No. Would you die for him? He's a righteous man, right? But you will not die for him. Maybe a good man, you and I might die for him. Someone who kind of give you tuition when you needed to go to school. I don't know whether you encounter anyone like this. I know a friend who has sponsored many students, international students, go through school. And nobody knows, you know, kind of that the person is doing it. And or someone who would bring you food when you have nothing to eat, and someone would take care of you when you're sick. Those are good people. And you and I owe it to those people. And we say, well, okay, perhaps I would die for those people. But in here it says, but God shows his love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is a big deal. And Christ died for us. He gave us the very best. It's his son. And have you watched Lion King recently? And you know that father was dying for his son. And that's how much he loved the little cup. And God loved us, and he sent his son, and so that he died for us. And that's a tremendous love that he did. And in fact, in the Bible, it mentioned about that the fact that he died for us, we need to remember. So in 1 Corinthians 11, he said in the same way, also he took the cup, let's talk about the Last Supper, the communion. And after supper, saying, the cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this is something that God wants us to remember. And that is his death. He died for us. And we do not remember God because he resurrected. He's victorious. That's not what it says here. And it says because he died for us. That's how deep it is God has love us. And so first, Jesus died for us. And that's why we know that he loves us. It's a very, very big thing that God did. And second, he gave or he gives. And one time we have a discussion in our family. We're in a first we arrive in the U.S. We're sitting on a minivan. We're talking to each other. I can't remember what's the occasion. We're saying that, I said, I wonder whether we can love people by not giving to them. And so we have this question, you know, is love related to giving? I think it is related to giving, right? And many parents, they love their children. They might not know how to relate to them emotionally. I don't know whether you have a parent who can relate to you emotionally, who's come alongside of you. But all parents, they know how to give good gifts to the children. So you receive gift, you and I receive gift in Christmas and birthday, and maybe that's only way some parents know how to love their children and give them good gifts. So in here is that God loved us because he gave to us. And actually, this is, for me, that's a primary way that for me to relate to God's love. I don't know about you, but I have a practice I'm going to share with you. I might have shared with you before. I want us to do at the end. So remind me. Don't let me forget. And so in here, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so he gave his only son to us. And that's how God loved us. So he gave his son to us. And in Romans 8, it says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also give him generously, give us all things? And so God is a generous God, and he's giving us all kinds of things. And in fact, I remember talking to a few friends and talk about God, how generously God has given to us, especially non-believers. And they're thinking about, why did God give good things to good people and also God give things to bad people? Have you ever thought about that? God give things to good people and, you know, people, bad people? Or maybe another way to say it is, God give good things to believers and also God give good things to non-believers. Have you ever thought about if God give all the good things to only believers, what will happen? Then a lot of people will believe God, right? But that's not what God, who he is. He's giving us generously regardless of our performance and regardless whether we are tracking with him or not. So he gave good gift to all people, and sunshine on the good people and sunshine on the bad people. And so he is not sparing anything. He's giving us. So that's the way that God loves us, gave us good gifts. And he also covenanted with us. And this is a past tense. So he make all his covenants. It's end now. So there's no more covenant. So he's not going to make a covenant with you now. It's all in the past as far as we understand the closing of the Bible, the canonization of the Bible. So God has made all his promises to us. And I don't know whether you can probably cannot see it. So God gave us the old covenant, and also God gave us the new covenant. And before the old covenant was given, there was a few covenants given that's really without any condition. Like, for example, he is giving a covenant to Noah, and he's limiting himself. He said, I'm not going to send the flood to you anymore. And Noah does not need to do anything. And so God is giving us promises. So covenant is almost like a promise. I promise you, I'm going to bless you. And then God also make a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham did not need to do anything until much later, and has a circumcision, you know, with the old covenant. But he's saying that I'm going to bless you. And so that's how God has made covenant with us. And then God is also covenant with us in the Old Testament. Maybe I can read it. And it said, you shall not make for yourself and crave image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation, and those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." So that is a covenant God makes. So what he's saying is that if one of us, we sin against him, he's going to visit us. That is going to have some impact onto how many generation? Fourth generation, right? So it's going to have impact on our descendants. But on the other hand, if we keep his commandment, he's going to bless us for thousands of generations. So there's a many, many time difference. You know, there's a hundreds of times of difference. And God said, I want to make a covenant with you so that you know how much I love you. And then in Psalm 106, it said, "For their sake, he remembers his covenant, and we landed according to the abundance of his steadfast love." So the psalmist always reminds us that God remember his covenant. He remember how much he has promised. And he also promised in Jeremiah 31, he says, "The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." So God said, "I love you. And I not only love you by promising you, but also love you with everlasting love." And now in the New Testament, and in the same way, he who took the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. It is the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we already read that verse already. So this is saying that Jesus is saying that I'm making a covenant with you with my blood. And now you remember, I died for you. I gave my life to you. And that's my covenant. All right, so let's go on a little bit. God love him, love us. He disciplines. That's the difficult one. Have you ever been disciplined by the Lord? Yes? No? Yeah, we all have been disciplined by the Lord somehow. And it says in Hebrew 12, it says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son whom he receives. For they discipline us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good that we might share his holiness." And so in here, and basically it's saying that a lot of the time, God is really want to share something very special with us. That's his holiness. And that's why he walk us through some very difficult moment, trials. And James said, welcome trials as an intimate friend. So God, whenever you experience hard time, a discipline from God, we need to remember this is God's love. So most recently, I don't know whether it's a discipline, I fall from my scooter. So I just hurt my arm. And it really hurts. So actually, at night when I'm sleeping, I'm constantly reminded I have a hand that's not very functional. And it affected my sleep. But I was thinking about, I know that God has a special plan. And he must want me to slow down. I feel like this last few weeks have been very fast. And so by hurting my hand, I have to budget more time in doing everything. So I'm writing some newsletter, but it's really slow. So I just take my time to do it. And I'm going to campus and meeting with some student every morning. And if you're interested, you are welcome to join us. We're going through something called Day by Day and just looking some very simple verse and reflect in about 20 minutes or so. So I would budget an hour in the first day to ride my bike to campus. I did not want to bump my hand. I did not want to do anything, you know, to hurt him further. And I slow way down. So it gave me a lot more time to reflect and to think about life and to sit and read. And so God has caused pain in our life and for a special purpose. I don't fully understand it yet. I just felt like I wonder whether God is protecting me from something even worse. Now I will hurt my arm. And if I did not hurt my arm, what would happen? And so Fifth, he seeks us. And I'll think about the story of Zacchaeus. And he's a short guy just like me. So he was, he heard about Jesus. He wanted to see him. So he just dive in and trying to say, wow, Jesus is coming. How can I see him? And so in his time, there's no Facebook. There's no Twitter. So he doesn't know when he's coming. So he just heard, well, Jesus is here. So he just left all his work and he went to see Jesus. And because he's so short, everyone's so tall, I can relate to him. So he climbed on the tree and trying to say, hey, Jesus, where's Jesus? I can see. And so, but Jesus came to him. He came to Zacchaeus. He said, hey, come on out, come on down. And he said, me? He said, yes, I want to be in your house. I want to have a dinner with you. And so Jesus is purposely trying to seek us out.